and all involved, many parts were displayed to see that presentation come forth. And thank you, all of you, who did such a wonderful job just demonstrating God's love today. Hallelujah. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And just so you know, if you have young children, you're welcome to continue to stay in here. We do have the nursery if you need it. There is not children's church today. And so just for your information on that. But thank you. Thank you for being here with an open heart. Matthew 11, verse 28 through verse 30. I did read this passage not too long ago in our series about knowing and doing the will of God. That is not the central point today, but what you see here is the central point. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I would like to also read John chapter 10, if you'd like to turn there as well. You know, back in the day, when I would give a reference to a page or a specific verse, I would hear a lot of leaves changing as Bibles are turned. More and more, we're hearing the digital swipe. I don't know how many of you are using those, but those are okay. You can use your phones for looking up Bible. Isn't it great you can have your Bible with you always now? Isn't that cool? You don't have to carry the big one all the time. You can have it right on your phone. If you're using that, that's awesome. Just don't be texting. I'm sorry. John chapter 10, verse 10. Look at what it says here. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, in our original text, our previous text, we see that we will find rest for our souls. And now we see this expression that the life you have in Christ will be the best. You will have life to the full. And your translation may say it in a different way, but it means the same. You will have the fullness of life through Jesus Christ. Verse 17 and 18 of that same chapter, look what it says here. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." Isn't that awesome? "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Hallelujah. It's interesting. A couple weeks ago, one of our visiting youth had made the expression about Jesus dying on a cross. He had no choice. And it was forced upon him. And I said, no, actually he had a choice. He absolutely had the legal right to defend himself. And he could have walked away. He literally could have walked away that day and had every legal standing with him. And Pontius Pilate knew that. That's why he tried to get the people to take Jesus back. Because he knew there was nothing legally that I can do to have this man executed, to have him tortured and killed. And he actually thought he was going above and beyond by saying, listen, I will scourge him and then send him back. And they're like, no, crucify him. Jesus could have walked away, but he didn't. He died for you on purpose. It was his choice. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He did not raise his voice. He did not defend himself. He did not persuade the executioners to stop. He simply was silent before them as they tortured and beat him and finally killed him on that cross. Why would he do such things? Because he loves you. That's why. That's how great his love is. Here's the thing. There is a battle that is raging all around us today. It is fierce. It's even going on right now. Specifically, it is a battle for your soul. Your soul is the prize that wants to be won by God or the enemy of your soul. That is the prize they're fighting for. As you've seen from an outstanding drama, God has been battling for your soul. Whether you have faith or whether you are here out of a traditional courtesy, you have a soul. Bottom line, and everyone here, if you're honest, you know that's true. What does it mean? Well, here's the thing. Your soul is desperately needy. Your soul is very needy. It can't make it on its own. Ironically, the greatest enemy to your soul is self. I've said this many times over the years, and I had the privilege to go through a really interesting Bible study about soul. And what I learned is what I already knew. The devil's not my greatest enemy. And I've said this a few times, and sometimes I get a raised eyebrow. And I say this honestly and sincerely. As far as I know, I haven't met him yet. I've met some demons. I've met the enemy. I've met some of those evil spirits. They're out there, trust me. But the devil is not omnipresent like God is. And as far as I know, I haven't met him. He is not my greatest enemy. I am. The greatest enemy of my soul is myself. You see, it's that part of me that struggles with pride. That struggles with the desires of the flesh, the world. Your soul, by the way, is ever before God. And I'm going to show you how you can verify this as being true. Your soul is that part of you that recognizes there is more. There is something greater. There is something divine even in the existence that we call life. It's interesting how we can marvel at a sunrise, isn't it? You're out there in the wilderness in Makoshika or some other part of this area, and it's beautiful around here, by the way. We love it here. And we see this beautiful sun come up, and it's like, wow. And you have something happen. Something happens inside of you that you can't really explain, but there's something special. Or maybe it's the sunset. You're more of the sunset person. You don't set the alarm early enough for the sunrise, right? And so the sunsets are beautiful. Although I have to argue, this side is pretty pretty. Pretty pretty? Can I say that? And so you have a sunset, or maybe it's the full moon. Have you seen the big moon come up over the horizon? And you're like, wow, I feel like I could reach out and touch it. There's something inside of you that resonates. Let me tell you what that is. That's your soul recognizing there's more. Recognizing there's divine. This is not an accident. This was created by beautiful hands. You know it in your soul. When you're out there fishing and you catch that big walleye. Yeah. That's fun stuff. And something within you just comes alive. Why? Because your soul is connecting with something that's beyond you. And the outdoorsmen of the house understand what that is. And I've even had people say, you know, my church is out in the great outdoors. I get that. My soul connects with God there as well. And so does everyone else. And you have a different way of connecting in your soul to this divineness called God. An atheist has a soul. An atheist cannot explain to you what they feel when they see the sunrise and the stars in the sky at night. Because the only thing that can explain that sensation is God. And your soul longs for him. Your soul longs for him like you can't even explain. And so the world finds ways to touch with that soul longing through different avenues. But ironically and beautifully and all of the things above, it only is fulfilled because of Jesus Christ on a cross and an empty tomb on the third day. It is the only way the soul finds satisfaction is through that born-again believing experience that comes as the Holy Spirit enters your life and the soul is with God in a way that it was always meant to be. Self, on the other hand, is that part of you that we spiritually call flesh. I call him Kevin. I know him well. He's quite a guy, that Kevin. There's a few other Kevins in the house, right? I'm talking about this one here, not the other ones out there. Yourself is that part of you that entertains pride. Look what I did. It's that part of you that seeks after pleasure. What do I get out of this? How can I have pleasure? It's that part of you that's justifying sin all the time. Tell him I'm not home. As the phone rings and it's answered and you realize I don't want to talk to that person. Tell him I'm not home. Please don't do that. Don't teach your kids to lie. Say, I'm unavailable. That's honest. You don't want to take the phone. That's fine. But don't make your kids lie. Such a small thing, that self, and yet he has so much power. You can justify so many things with self, but it doesn't work. The enemy of your soul is yourself, and you must die every day. Jesus died on a cross for you, and yet he also said these words that you must crucify your flesh. You must take up your cross daily. Why? So your soul, which is ever before God, can lead you into his presence. That's why. I know it sounds almost schizophrenic, doesn't it? And in some ways, I guess you could say that it is. Jesus came to bring you rest. Rest for your soul. That's what he says in his own words. He came to bring you love. He came to bring you joy. He came to bring you peace. And the sad thing is, so many in the world are trying to find love, joy, peace through self. And they can't figure out why it's like putting your forehead against a brick wall. Bam, bam, it's not working. Why don't I have joy? Well, maybe you should stop hitting your head on the brick wall. Well, that's silly, right? And yet that's exactly what we do when we try to fulfill joy through self. It can't happen. But soul, who is ever before God, when soul is connected with God, suddenly there's joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I like the way that says. That's a good old song. We should sing it sometime, right? Peace, which passes understanding. What does that mean? That means your peace, you have peace when you shouldn't have peace. When everything is falling apart all around you and you have peace and people look at you like, well, you're just kind of strange. Well, yeah, I'd like to introduce to you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's the one that's my joy. Myself can't get along, you know, very well in this life, so I keep telling self, just lay down and die. Right? That's what Jesus said to do. Die to yourself, die to flesh every day, take up your cross daily. And yet we always want to resurrect self and not relate with God through soul. You can find love, joy, peace that the world and self cannot give. Through Jesus Christ. Let's talk a little bit about what God has done. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's a whole mouthful right there. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Wow, this is a great part of our Bible that explains that Jesus is the I Am. If you had the opportunity to watch Let's Talk About It this morning, I real briefly talked about what Jesus said when he said he is the I am. Only God can say that. Only God always has been, is, and always shall be. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the I am. The Word became flesh. Verses 10 through 14, it says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. I mean, just try to grasp that just a little bit. God made this world and chose to become flesh. And he shows up, and the world's like, who do you think you are? Who gives you the authority to say these things to us? Really? you're gonna challenge the Creator, God. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. As a matter of fact, as I shared this morning in that short little interview, that God, as he's being challenged, was said to be demon-possessed. They couldn't figure out what was going on. I mean, the guy raises the dead. He heals. And he does this on the Sabbath, which was a real big no-no. And so he's doing these things, and they're like, well, what are we going to do? We can't say these things aren't happening because they're happening. So let's go down this road and say that it's through the demonic forces that he's healing the sick. Really? That was their choice. That's the way they went with it. Well, as Jesus was battling out with the Pharisees in that discussion, he makes the point, before Abraham was, I am. They got so angry, they gnashed their teeth and they looked for a way to kill him. And of course, we know that they eventually found that way. In Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I'm not going to read it, but you can write it down in your notes. You can look it up later on. And it's so cool the way God has expressed himself that he says, today you are my son. In other words, you were Word, as we see here in John chapter 1, but not from now on, you're no longer Word, now you're son. God has revealed himself to us in three powerful ways. He is one, but he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit in one. And he says, today you will be known as son. And so we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Read it sometime, you'll enjoy it. I have become your father, it says. And here's the thing, the plan that God has, of which we are celebrating today, as I shared this morning in that interview, I actually recorded that on Thursday, it was not a last-ditch hope and a chance and a idea of, well, they really messed up, let's come up with a way to fix it all. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. This plan of salvation, this faith that brings us a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, this was not a plan B, a plan D, or X, or any other plan. It was plan A, if you can title a plan, it was plan A. And 1 Peter shows us that, verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And here's the verse that's key. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This was the plan. Before he even created the world, God had a plan. And his plan was to come and die on this cross for you and for me and rise again the third day with the power to forgive you of your sins and make you holy because he is holy. That your soul, which longs for that intimacy with God, which in many cases doesn't even understand what soul is looking for, is only fulfilled through that intimate relationship that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you receive this gift of salvation, which you can't earn, by the way, It's the free gift that costs you everything, but it's so worth it. And your soul will rejoice within you because your soul has finally found the fulfillment it's longed for. You've looked through it, you've looked for it in other ways, through the pleasures of the world. You've looked through it through relationships. And as wonderful as your husband and your wife and your children and your grandparents, as wonderful as you people are, you're not enough. Your soul will continue empty until God has filled that hole. It's a God-sized hole that only He can fill. Jesus said, come to me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your soul. And so many people say yes to that. And I'm so thankful because they know exactly what I'm talking about. But then there's others that say, no, I'm going to try it on my own. I'm going to do it my way. Myself and I, we've got it figured out. I'm like, you know, you're going to be so disappointed. If you want other verses that speak of the plan that was already in place before time began, you can look up 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 8. It speaks of the same before time began, the mystery of salvation. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9, another great passage referring to the eternal plan, the plan that was always there before time began. Titus 1, verse 1 through 3. Once again, another passage of Scripture that refers to the plan that's always been. Can't fathom that kind of love. The Bible tells us that He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, He came and died for us. We know that. But can you grasp the fact that before He said, let there be light, let the waters separate from the land, let the moon and the stars and all these things be put in place, before He even made the plants and the animals and finally got to man, before He did any of those things, He planned to come and die, just as we saw this morning. What kind of love is that? It's beyond me. You see, God knows the end from the beginning from the end. He is sovereign. He is God. He is the I Am. And His plan is the only plan that matters. The very reason we're here on this earth is because of the plan. I've accepted that call to receive Christ as my Savior. And I think many of you have as well. I don't know if all of you have, but I believe many of you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Isaiah 53, great chapter, speaking of the sacrifice of our Lord, refers to the wounds that heal us. And the primary purpose of that statement, which is reflected once again here, is that your soul will find rest. You will have intimacy with God. You will have fellowship with God, which was the intention from the beginning, and let's just say it, even before the beginning. Before time even began, God, who is outside of time, which I can't quite grasp, decided to make a creation and all that is for the purpose of knowing you personally in a very real and special way. And your soul longs for that relationship. Your soul will always long for that relationship. Always. Will you satisfy the longing of your soul? Will you say no to self and say yes to soul? I want to know you, God. We know that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. We know that Jesus died and rose again according to scriptures. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is a great passage referring to this wonderful truth, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 8, it's pretty cool what's being said here. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, some have died, but most of these 500 are still alive. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. In other words, what is he saying? He's saying Jesus is alive. And here's the cool thing. The fact that he could write this passage and refer to people that saw him for 40 days after the resurrection, by the way, which is amazing. That's over a month-long period that he hung around. Over 500 people at one time saw him. What is he saying? He said, hey, if you don't believe me, ask one of the 500. Ask one of the apostles. Ask one of the disciples. Ask James, John. Ask any of these guys. They saw him too. You want proof? Go talk to the people that saw him with their own eyes. Now, unfortunately, time has gone by, and I think if we were to write this today, we would say that they're all sleeping. Right? We can't go back in time unless you have a time machine, and I don't think they've quite invented that yet. So we can't go and talk to the people that saw him, but we can see the recordings that have given proof of his being alive after the tomb. There are so many things that can be proved about Jesus Christ without even using the Bible. It's awesome. We can prove he is exactly who he claimed to be. Even to the degree that people worshipped him as if he were God, believing he'd risen from the dead, and there was many eyewitnesses' account. That is a fact of history. Just as solid, if not more solid, than the fact that Abraham Lincoln was once one of our presidents. That's truth. Why did he come? To bring rest for your soul. That you might know him. And Jesus is coming back. He came. He accomplished the goal. He said, it is finished. And yet it was just beginning. We're going to wrap this part of the service down. Look to Acts chapter 17 with me. Acts chapter 17. We'll begin with verse 24. Look what's being said here. This is basically my whole message in one passage. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Our soul knows this true. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now look at verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Let me say that again. He commands all people everywhere to repent. Verse 31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. And so there it is. The Creator has a plan. That plan is to know you in a personal way. That plan is to bring rest to your soul. Self can't do it. I keep telling Kevin that. I have to crucify my flesh. Now, in and of the way that God has made us, self can be an advantage. There's things that come from self that can be good. But too often, myself gets in the way of God, and my soul is pushed aside. I want to encourage you to put self aside today and listen to your soul. Would you stand with me as we close?